Hello and welcome to season 3 of Mum's Work and Chaos. We all know the saying, it takes a village to raise a child, but where is that village? Well, I started this podcast to help you find yours, and I'm joined by some amazing guests this season, talking about subjects such as fast fashion, menopause, sex education, and teenage behaviour, just to name a few. So join me this season, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hello and welcome to this episode of Mum's Work and Chaos, the second of season 3, which is absolutely awesome. I'm so excited to be recording this one with Jacqueline from Our Braveheart. So you'll find her on Instagram as Our Braveheart, but she's just awesome. She's spending her time teaching us mothers to be brave, and I think that's something that we all need right now. So Jacqueline, if you just want to introduce yourself and tell us a bit more about what you do.
Lovely. Thank you for the lovely introduction. So I am a mum of two. My children are coming up for almost 10 and almost 8. And I work with mums. Currently, I am a life coach, and I've been working with mums for 5-6 years now. And I work with a particular group of mums. I specialise in working with mums who feel like they've lost themselves in motherhood. So not new mums, but mums who are a year, 2, 3, 5, 10 years into motherhood, and they've reached a point in their life and their motherhoods where they have this recognition and awareness of, I don't really know who I am anymore, and I don't know what to do about that. And behind all of that, there is this sense of motherhood is not what I thought it would be, and I don't have the language to talk about it. So I work with mums who would fall into that category, because I was that mum. When I became a mum, the pregnancy was textbook beautiful. It was everything I had ever dreamed it would be and everything I thought it would be. I was so innocent. And then the birth of my first child ended up being quite managed, and both my son and myself experienced some birth trauma. So my entry into motherhood was quite shocking, it felt like, at that time. And as I went further into my motherhood, I realised that all the things that I had read about were there. I loved my son. I was getting to know him. It certainly wasn't this immediate rush of love, but it was an immediate sense of wonder and awe at the perfection of this wee boy. And the love came, the deep, deep love that takes your breath away. It came in time. And at the same time, I remember thinking, there's so much I'm feeling and experiencing that I don't really remember reading about. I don't remember it being in all the books I bought. And I had really, as someone who over prepares for everything in life, I had read every book, every journal, read all the forums online, what I thought were all the forums online. But they were such a very narrow perspective of what motherhood was. I went on then to have a very healing home birth in 2015 with my wee girl. And we moved forward then as a family of four, my husband and I and our two kids. And still at that stage, I knew, I just couldn't put my finger on it, that it felt like something was missing. It felt like a part of my motherhood jigsaw, my conversation, wanted to be spoken about, but I just didn't know what it was. Yeah. And the more I started to speak to other mothers, the more I recognised that there was just something. We were all talking about this something, you know, but we didn't know what it was. And I went on to become a coach then to try and support mothers who were wanting to explore this. And we spoke around this something for many years. And I started to find language such as identity crisis. And identity crisis is very common in motherhood. Yeah. Grief is very common in motherhood. I grieved for the woman I had been and the life I had had. And I didn't know that that was okay to do that. Yeah. I actually felt a bit, how dare I, who has this wonderful life with these beautiful babies, how dare I even attempt to talk about the grief I had? And so the further I went into that, the more research that I did, it just opened up this whole world of language and frameworks. There is a language of motherhood that is written by mothers that most of us don't have access to. And that's ultimately where I sit today, working with the mothers. And the language includes a lot of what we're going to speak about as well.
Yeah, so, that really hit me. Thank you so much for that. That really, really hit me. I think that's something that we all contend with, and we don't really quite realise. Like, when I had my first, I can 100% relate to everything that you've just said. When I had my first, I was put down as a high risk pregnancy. And so it meant I had to have her in the hospital. I wasn't really given much of a choice. I wanted to have a water birth. I wanted to have her in the hospital because she was my first and I didn't know what I was doing. And I didn't want a home birth. There was no way I wanted that. I thought I wanted to be medicated, but I definitely wanted a water birth. And then I found out I was high risk and that was taken off the table. And I tried to be that sort of like go with the flow kind of mum, where it was just like, well, that's taken off the table. I could still do this. I could still do that. And I could, so I didn't even really have a birth plan, if I'm honest, because it was just like, I just couldn't make those decisions. I just couldn't quite work out what I wanted. And then when she was there, we'd gone through this whole thing. I'd been given dimorphine, gas and air. And then next thing you know, I woke up and they were like, you need to push. And I basically slept through the majority of my labor because I was so high on everything. I couldn't actually be present during it. And then she'd flipped. So instead of being, the right way around, so coming out face down, she came out face up. They called it sunny side up, which is fine by me. And then they were like, we're gonna have to cup you and help the baby out with a cup. And I'd heard cut. And I completely freaked and I was like, don't do it, I'll push. And she came eventually, but it was just so much harder than it needed to be. And so when she was finally there, then everyone wanted to come and see her. This was 2016 when people could come and see you in the hospital and everyone wanted to come see her. It was like this rush of family, which was fine. It was lovely. But I just feel like I missed that initial element of bonding with her. And I definitely had that even in the early stages, that grief of just being able to leave the house. And in the previous episode that I did recently, we spoke about mental health, and I definitely had some form of postnatal anxiety, possibly mild agoraphobia. I was so scared about going outside with her initially. I got braver, but it was really hard at the beginning, and what you've just said has just massively hit home with me. I feel very emotional right now. But when I started this podcast, it was because I know the feeling of feeling alone, feeling missing that previous life, wanting to get it back, if I'm honest, which is fine. It's okay to feel that way, but also like knowing how difficult it could be to bond with your first child. I found it very hard. Like we have a great relationship now. I love her to pieces, and as you said, that love grew, but I don't feel like it was there like straight away. How people describe it as this big rush of love, and you feel it as soon as they come out of you and they put in your arms. And I just looked at her and I was like shocked. I was like, I knew something was growing inside of me that whole time I was pregnant. And it was like, oh shit, what do I do now? I have a whole person to look after and keep alive. And it was actually quite a scary prospect that I didn't just have to keep myself going. I had to look after this whole new human being and make sure that she was an all right person when she was an adult. And all of a sudden the importance of it hit me, and I was just like, oh no, what do I do now? And so I was scrolling through Instagram and I came across you, and you were talking about the subject of matrescence. And if I'm honest, I cried. I felt this huge rush of relief that someone was explaining the way I had felt and the way I feel. And I don't think, obviously I'm going to ask you to explain the concept momentarily, but I don't think that I feel like the process of matrescence just continues, it evolves. I don't feel like it would ever end, if you know what I mean, because the journey just continues, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So just if you're happy to explain the concept of matrescence, it would be amazing.
Thank you, and thanks for touching on what you spoke about there, Louise, because the reality is somebody's going to listen to what you've just spoken about and be as deeply touched by what you've shared, because it's so resonant for so many of us. There are more of us who can relate to what we're talking about than we could ever have imagined. Certainly that was my that still is my experience as someone who works with mothers who openly talks about guilt, shame, disappointment, frustration, rage, anger, grief, love, all of it. There's so many of us that if we can just get a little peek behind each other's closed doors, it offers such validation and comfort to know that I've actually never been alone, even though it felt so deeply that I was. But to touch on, to go back to your question then, matrescence, like where do I even start with this magnificent word and field of study and concept? So I had my first child at the end of 2013, just to give a little bit of a timeline of how this was entered into my life, because I know now a lot of mums are hearing it for the first time, and I want to honour the magnitude of that moment, just like what you've spoke about. When you heard about it, you cried. Like, I cried with relief and joy and sadness, because why did it take it so long for me to find out about such a thing? So my son was born in 2013, the end of it. And then my daughter, 2015, I started to become a coach in 2016, qualified in 2017, and I started working with mums towards the end of 2017. And I think I might have run my first group program then. And that took us off into 2018. And I'm sure it was the beginning of 2018. I'm not sure. It's somewhere in that year, maybe even the middle, that I was sent a TED Talk by a woman called Dr. Alexandra Sachs. Now, this TED Talk is famous now, but at the time, that's when she had just done it. It's 6 minutes long. It's the best 6 minutes, if you're a mum, that you're going to spend today when you hear this. Go and watch it, Google it, TED Talk by Dr. Alexandra Sachs. And she's talking about a new way to think about the transition into motherhood. And it took my breath away, because it was so obvious and yet so profound at the same time. So Dr. Alexandra Sachs is really recognized as bringing the topic, the concept, back into the public eye. Because in actual fact, the word originates from the 1970s. It was an anthropologist who coined the term, a woman called Dana Raphael. And I think it's so important that when we talk about this, we respect and we pay homage to the women whose shoulders we stand on that allow us to have these conversations. But when she was looking at cultures and societies, and she was recognizing all these different rites of passage, there was quite an emphasis on a particular rite of passage for women, and that was into marriage. However, she was observing that there was a rite of passage that seemed to be not being recognized, and that was the rite of passage, the transition into motherhood. And so she coined this term, matrescence, and it's the time of mother becoming. So she was saying, you know, what she was witnessing, the huge shifts that were taking place within the women. But at that time, and still even to this day, a lot of the focus is on the baby as opposed to what happens to the women. And so the term was coined, and then it kind of got buried academically. And then the next generation of women who starts to carry the torch is a woman called Dr. Aurelie Athin, who is a clinical psychologist. And she was, again, recognizing all these mothers trying to talk about the same thing, but they didn't have the language. And she acknowledged that there seemed to be a framework missing for mums to talk about their experience. They went looking in the research and came across the term matrescence. And so since then, she has been using it to talk about, she's updated the definition of it to talk about, you know, it covers people who mother, surrogate mums, adopted mums who adopt. You know, it's not just related to the woman who perhaps carries a child in utero. It's the experience of mothering that matrescence can apply to. And I think that's so beautiful and so important to recognise as well.
I think that's the other thing about it, is it's not an exclusive term.
No,
It's a
it's
completely inclusive term. And you know, I grew up with aunties that were not familial relations at all. They were my mum and dad didn't speak to their families. They didn't have that familial support system when I was growing up. So my aunties were all and uncles were all family friends.
Yes.
And so and a few of them were childless themselves. And so even then that term could encompass them as well, couldn't it? As you know, having been a part of the raising of us as well. So it's
Yeah, I
a
think
very
it can.
interesting concept, isn't it?
It is, and I don't know how far it would extend, because again, what's so powerful about the concept, it is also an absolute recognition of the huge transformations that a woman goes through, regardless of how she becomes a mother. So I'm not entirely sure of how far out it would go. There's definitely, of course, her circle of support, her aunts and friends who support us are also changing. But the massive shifts that take place in the mother's brain, socially, psychologically, emotionally, physically, financially, spiritually, all of this is wrapped up in this concept of matrescence. And again, I can't speak about matrescence without recognizing the work of Aimée Taylor-Cabez. I've just finished her program, Mama Rising. And she is, again, so there's all these like torchbearers of this term, it seems like, who keep it alive, like they're bringing it forward to another generation of women, another generation of mothers. And she's talking about it, and she's based in Australia, and she's teaching women who work or people who work with mothers all about the concept so that we can continue to support mothers with this whole new language. So it's about recognizing that there is more than one lens in which we can view the experience of motherhood. Prior to learning about matrescence, it's very much the medical model lens where we look at you become pregnant, it's biological, physiological. You become pregnant, you give birth. Terms such as baby blues are used, which I find very patronizing to refer to.
Same.
I mean, that's probably a whole other podcast session on its own when we look at the language that's used around motherhood. But it's a particular lens that then starts to look at the feelings and the reactions of a woman in early postpartum, and even years later, it somehow becomes that there's something wrong with her. She's not coping. Her experience is abnormal. This is the type of language that is used. And what I think is incredible about matrescence is it opens up a whole different lens, and it starts to look at perhaps what we're seeing here is an adaptive response to a very difficult environment that the woman now finds herself in, because motherhood does have a huge impact on us psychologically, spiritually, socially, etc. And I think that's what the gift of matrescence is allowing so many mums to experience, is that they're actually able to look at their own lives and think, you know, maybe it's not me. Maybe I'm not failing at this. Maybe there's more to this whole experience of motherhood than perhaps, like myself, had ever imagined there would be.
Yeah, it's so much more than just a biological or physical
Yes.
change, isn't it? I mean, I've done episodes previously about like coming to grips with the way your body changes and, you know, looking in the mirror and you may not recognize the person that you see. But it's not just about recognizing the physical person that you see. It's about understanding that, you know, the actual complete changes. You know, when I had my first, I was the first of my friends to have a baby that, you know, was of my age group. So, I mean, I've got friends who are much older than me who have grown up children as well, and are now having children of their own, which is quite insane. But I was the first of my like school and uni friends and church friends to have a child. And I think one of the things I found hardest was actually the changes in those friendship groups. So,
Yes.
you know, they were still young, free, single, having, you know, going out, enjoying themselves, and, you know, or they were married, but they weren't looking to have children anytime soon. And so, like, they'd invite me to do things or go to places, but I'd have to say, well, can I bring her with me? Because I was on maternity leave and it
Yeah.
was very difficult. And so, like, I mean, I might be able to go out for dinner or something, but even then, I had to really push myself to actually leave the house because I don't think people quite understood that Yeah, okay. I was breastfeeding. Yeah, okay. I had portable. Everything was portable. I had easy access to food for her and everything as well. But as she got older, her needs changed and she needed more attention. And she needed, she needed just needed more. And it meant I could give less to those friendships and things like that. And so if it felt in a way that if I wasn't pursuing them, things just evolve and change, don't they? Friendships and those kind of relationships change, and then you have to go and, in a way, go and find new ones, different ones. And I think as well, coming to terms with actually grieving the loss of friendships as well is difficult. But it's understandable. Those things change. But it does take a long time to come to terms with those sorts of things. And so it's not just a case of looking in the mirror and seeing someone different. It's looking in the mirror and realizing that you're a completely different person to the person you were before, and
And
sort of actually getting to know yourself again.
and interestingly enough, Louise, like I put up a post a while ago and I had not imagined that it would be quite as controversial as it seemed to be, because it speaks on this idea of the woman you were is gone. And it's not to say that she's not still part of you, but there is sometimes a rhetoric in society that if you just hold on, the woman that you were, she's going to come back into your life and going to save you. So just keep pushing, or just keep holding on, just get the head down, get through this, and then you're going to be yourself again. And I think that does such a massive injustice to the transition that we go through, but it robs us of the possibility of joy, of being like, well, actually, I don't want to go out for dinner at 8 o'clock anymore because it is too late. I want to be in my pajamas. And I'm okay with that, rather than pushing through it, because again, it's a part of motherhood, the loneliness. And then there is the shame and a stigma attached to the loneliness, because it's like, who doesn't have friends? Or, what kind of woman that can't even make an effort to get out the house to go and be with her friends? What kind of a friend am I? So then we start this whole narrative, this cycle of beating ourselves up. But never really are we talking about in the midst of all that is the recognition of, but perhaps what always interested you and what always worked for you and what always fed your soul no longer does, because she is not who you were anymore. And there was so much, there were some wonderful discussions, of course. However, there was also people who were saying, that's absolutely unacceptable to say that. You cannot say that. And I think this highlights again, I suppose, that there are people who just feel things so differently, and there is space for all of those conversations. And what works for me, or what I have felt true, or what I had to make peace with in order to move on and accept the reality of things, was that I had to accept that. And I celebrated it when I finally got to that acceptance, was she is gone and she was wonderful. And she will all, the echoes of her will be with me throughout my whole life. And yet here I am now, the mother of two. What do I want? What conversations do I want to be involved with? What kind of friendship circles would I like to start fostering and nurturing and creating now? Because the party girl days, they're just not going to
It's
work
nice
anymore.
every now and again, but
Oh,
if you give me a choice of going out and having a good time or staying in my pajamas watching some cack on television eating a Chinese, I know which one I'll be picking.
yeah, the definition changes.
But that's the thing, like, I part of starting the pod was that it was going to be, was, is a non-judgmental space for everyone to find what they're looking for. And I think, this subject, it hits so hard with me, and it will with, thousands, hundreds of thousands of other women out there. But, there are those other women who, still want to carry on doing the things that they were doing before, and that's perfectly fine. There's no judgment there. I'm going out with some of my school mum friends who are not my school mum friends anymore. They are my, proper friends. And we've formed such that, that close bond of having that shared experience that I don't feel like it's a relationship that will ever be broken now. But we're going for a night out, And we're really excited about this night out, but we've also discussed exactly what time we'll be going home. Because all of us know our limits, and our limits mean that we want to be home by 10 so we can go to bed. But yeah, so it's really good when you find that group of women that understands, can help, and can feed that element of of what your soul needs, I guess, is the way I'd phrase it. But it's finding those joyful relationships, those relationships where you can go through those hard times together and come out fighting on the other side. And I think that's sort of what we're all looking for when we, enter that zone of motherhood. It's just a completely different ball game, isn't it? You don't quite realize the magnitude of the changes that you're going to go through. It's not just, how you're going to wean your child, how you're going to feed your child, how you're going to, what maternity bras to bloody wear, or whether you're going to snap back into that thong, or just realize that you absolutely love granny pants. There's so much more to it than that. You know, as well as the physical changes and the increased mental load of stuff you have to remember, including other people's social events and doctor's appointments and all the other stuff that now bounces around the inside of your head. You've also got to contend with the emotional and hormonal changes, and also the realization, as we've touched on, that things are just different, and they always will be now. They will never be the same as when you were a carefree 20-year-old at university, or doing whatever you were doing at the time. You know, it's understanding that. And I would definitely say that I grieved that, and things changed, but that the relationships that were meant to stay and were meant to continue have, and that is, and forever will be, a bonus for me. I think that's something really special, when you find those people who, even in the midst of having children and maybe not having children themselves, have stuck around and continued to offer that love, support, and understanding that you need as you're going through this incredibly strange time.
And I think what you're speaking to there as well is that, I mean, certainly the friendship issue with women in general, because as women, as we get older, if we move away, we move jobs, or we enter in a new relationship, our friendships can be impacted. And there may be friends that carry with us through the years, and there may be friends that just, they dissolve, that friendship dissolves, it had a space and time. But when motherhood comes along, there's such a radical transformation in our priorities and our values that inevitably we will find people who are around us at this particular time in our life who we have things in common with, who are as open and as willing to get into certain discussions about, concerns that we have about feeding or toilet or the loss of identity, all of these things. Like, inevitably we start to create little pockets of friendships where the reason that the friendship is right now and very present is that we have so much in common and our values align, and perhaps people from our past. There's seasons of everything. So I think it's sometimes we can be so quick to say, real friendships last forever. And that's not to say that that's always the case, because a real friendship could also have served its season and the beautiful memories that it has, and it's gone for the moment. It may pick back up again in years to come. Who knows? So I think it's there's so much polarized, there's so much talk around it's good and bad, great friends and bad friendships, or people. So I think it's great to keep in mind that perhaps it's just the season I'm in, and these are the people right now that this we're building lasting friendships, or it may be that in 6 years' time I won't know these people anymore.
And do you know what? I look at my mum, who went through all sorts of friendships and changes and everything, and is now, she's got two daughters in their 30s who both have kids of their own, and she lives on her own. That she's not married. But she's enjoying still working, being a grandma, And she has relationships that have continued that were either work relationships or friendships through from being a mum. But then she's also now reconnecting with people that she was friends with, 30, 40 years ago. And I just think that's beautiful that she's able to rekindle those relationships and reconnect with those people. But although they, didn't have that connection during the middle period because they either had kids earlier than her or later, or they're now in this position where they're all grandparents and they have that, or in some cases, great grandparents, and have that ability to reconnect on that level. And I just think that's really beautiful. Like, she's obviously still on her motherhood journey because as I said, it never ends. Once you're a mum, you're a mum. But now she's transitioned into that period of being a grandmother. And the way she describes being a grandmother is that it's a totally different kind of love for your grandchildren. Like, I feel like in a way she knows what to expect. And so there's no like frustration there anymore with certain reactions and the ways the children, might react to a certain scenario. She, yes, she has boundaries about certain behaviors, but she understands and can facilitate the fun side of parenthood, and really enjoys the arts and crafts and taking them to the park and just letting them run wild for a bit and watching them play. And I think she's entered this much more sort of relaxed version of motherhood that is grandparenthood. And it's quite interesting to see that transition as well, and that sort of reconnection on a different plane. It's quite beautiful. So, wow, it's such a wide-ranging word and topic and a whole area, isn't it? So how, I guess I'm trying to it, as you said, it was a it's a word, a definition to sort of describe something that mothers find so hard to describe and share and quite understand themselves. How can we utilize sort of like the concept of matrescence to sort of further understand our own journey and the way we're moving through motherhood?
For me, my understanding of it will be very different to yours and to everybody else. What I love about the whole idea, what makes it exciting for me, it makes it exciting for me is that matrescence is just the beginning. Like the word itself, for me, I visualize it as a doorway. And once you realize such a word exists, you're like, oh, and you open the door and you're like, so here I am now in this whole world of other people who have podcasts on it. They write about it, they specialize in different areas of it. So it's an umbrella term. Every single person will have such a unique relationship to the word. For me, there are people who work within matrescence and they specialize in looking at the hormonal side of it, the postnatal depletion, like the work of Dr. Oscar Cyrillac, I think. I don't know how to pronounce that. Like he's championing the relationship between the depletion that our bodies have in relation to our physical and mental health. And then you have other people who are looking at it from a psychological perspective, the changes in the brain, and recognizing that the transition into motherhood, now we can see through MRIs and through scans, it has a physical change on the brain matter. What makes the subject come alive for me, and the piece that has always deeply resonated about motherhood, is what happened to me and my sense of self when I became a mother. So matrescence for me, the gateway that I, when people open my doorway into matrescence, we talk about it all and they share their experiences, the women that I work with. But ultimately what they are drawn to in the work that I do is the exploration of how did becoming a mother disrupt my very unique search for self in my lifetime. So processes
Yeah.
such as self-actualization, individuation, where the purpose of a life, perhaps very existential, but the purpose of a life is from the moment we are born until the day we die, we have this, you know, who am I in relation to all these other people in the world? When I had my first baby, that was completely disrupted because I will forever be their mother. They
Yeah.
will always be my children. So my sense of self, my search for self, it continues on, but in a different form because my self also contains them. So it's so like, I think it's such a rich field, and people might be like, oh, I'm really interested in the social side of it. I'm really interested in this side of it. So it's an opportunity, I think, this word, to start learning a language where we can talk about our experiences without it being just being sad and lonely and depressed.
Yeah.
We can actually start to talk about the real effects that are happening and the real impacts that motherhood has had on us in our lives.
It's amazing. There's just so much to explore around it. And I think that's, I mean, I love learning. I love finding out new things and understanding others' points of view. And I think that's the other thing, is that I feel like the term offers a huge amount of validation to those
Yes.
feelings that we feel, because I feel like so many people are, well, of particular generations, in, you know, are so quick to dismiss those feelings. You know, feeling low, missing those old friendships, missing your old self. You don't quite realize that's exactly how you're feeling. And then they go, oh no, you must enjoy every moment. You must be present. You must be there. You must always be, you know, on hand for your child. And I think that's incredibly impossible all
Yeah.
the time. And, you know, there has to be some moment of self-reflection. And I feel like, you know, the term in itself helps to offer that sort of validation of those feelings, but also gives us an opportunity to explore the things that have changed in a more positive way as well. Not just, you know, seeing it as a loss, but working out exactly how those changes affect us in a way that we can, you know, move on and grow into the position that we've gained as mothers, and the ways that we can help support and validate other women with similar feelings as well. Because it's so hard, like you said, when you feel alone, you know, you don't quite know whether to say the things that you're feeling, and so you just hold them in and you bottle them up, and then you got this nice little tornado going on inside of you of these feelings that you that eventually will, and there's no other way that you can contain them. They're just going to burst out eventually. It might come out in a number of different ways, but I feel like I'm going to have such an amazing experience further exploring this terminology and the way we can, you know, use it to grow and change and affect that realization and actualization of being a mum and exploring those feelings in a sort of more understanding space, I guess. So thank you so much for talking us through it and giving us so many people that we can, you know, look up and use to further explore that. I'll stick all of I'll track them down and stick them all in the show notes as well. But you have just closed a course, haven't you? A course launch recently, and that course was called Brave. And I just think that's such a strong and amazing word. Anyway, I love my mum always used to say that we were brave as children, and I feel that gave us so much freedom to go off and do things that needed to be done. But can you tell us a bit more, because I know that you know, it's not a one-time thing. Brave will be returning, so tell us more about Brave.
Yeah, thank you. Even just to speak to the word there, actually, when I was setting up my own coaching business and I wanted a name, and I was like, oh, you know, when you're fresh out of coaching and you're like, oh, like Signify something that, like catalytic coaching, all this kind of stuff. And then I was like, that's not going to work. So maybe I'll just have Jacqueline Kelly. And then I couldn't get that name. So I was like, okay, I'm going to have to really sit with what I want. I want the name to mean something to me and to the people. And I did lots of brainstorming around it. I spoke it out, and I kept coming back to this recognition of the bravery that it takes for a mother to take that first step and reaching out to someone to have a conversation. So it was, I was like, you know, she has a brave heart. And I was like, but I can recognize my brave heart in offering what I offer, because what I've had to put out into the universe and on the online universe, what I'm really feeling. And so this is why the name Our Brave Hearts, it's in recognition of me and the mums that I work with. And then when I was creating a program, and again, it's this idea of, you know, it's not a 12-step thing, it's not, you know, come and feel freedom, it's none of that, because there is no, I don't offer any guarantees to any women that I work with of what they will get at the end working with me. But there's this recognition of I will meet you halfway. And the name comes from my understanding of what it means to be brave. And having since spoken to other mums about what it means to them, it's the having the conversation when you really don't want to. It's the telling someone how you're really feeling. It's the getting up in the morning and doing it all again when really that's the last thing that you wanted to do. So it means different things to everybody who takes part. But basically what Brave is now, after this is the fifth year of I run it, and it started off as an 8-week program, and then it went to 10, and now in its current format it's a 12-week program. And there are mums from all over the world to take part. So we have a mum from Australia, America, we have European mums, mums from the UK, mums from Ireland who join us. And again, these are mums who, to give, I suppose, a snapshot of the mums who are on it, there's a mum on it who has a 16-year-old and an 18-year-old. There's mums on it who have a 3-year-old, 10-year-old. So it's not, again, it's not new mums. It's mums who have recognised that they want to explore, they want to figure out what's going on in their own lives. Why do I feel so stuck? Like, I can't get myself out of this. I feel like life is passing me by and I'm hiding now behind this title of mum, and I can't do that anymore. I want something. I want to feel something. Excitement or hope or joy about my life again. Or some mums are like, I'm just here to connect with other mums and have really honest, deep conversations about motherhood. So yeah, it's a very special program, if I do say so myself, because of everybody who joins it does so for a slightly different reason. But the thread that connects us all is the desire to be in company of other mums. Yeah. Who are as prepared to hold the space and not try and fix things for other people. Because, you know, I'm tired of people trying to fix it, even with the best of intention. I want to be heard. I want people to listen when I'm trying to explain how I feel without somebody saying, oh yeah, do this, or it's going to be fine. We don't know if it's going to be fine right away or when it'll be fine. So let us sit with that uncertainty.
I think it's quite, I guess in a way, like, that is the first reaction when we hear a problem. We want to fix it, we want to help, you know, we want to offer that advice. But if we don't have the words, sometimes it's easier to say it'll be okay, it'll be fine, without the knowledge or understanding that it might not be. And I, you know, there's, God bless my mum, she's a therapist, she's a counsellor and a hypnotherapist, and so her go-to is to sort of like talk you through your problem so that you can figure out the answer. And sometimes I just want the answer.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, different people need different things, don't they? So sometimes I, like the other day, I was talking to her about a problem and I just went, Mum, I don't want to work it out on my own. Yeah. I just want you to tell me what to do.
Yeah, and there's definitely a place for that. Yeah, I just want somebody to look me in the eye and tell me everything will be okay.
Yeah,
it will be,
or that I am going crazy, and that I just need to like chill out a bit, or, you know, anything like that. There's just sometimes, yeah, sometimes you do need it, and other times you just need that space, or you need to hear others' experience of that situation so you can work it out yourself. And so it it, you know, it's it sounds like a really safe space to have those meaningful conversations and share those shared share those experiences, because as you said, you know, you've got this, you've got a mother who's got older teenagers, and then you've got might have a mother who's got like a, you know, a 2-year-old or whatever, and you know, she'll be able to offer her experiences of the same time and be able to say, you know, it might be completely different, but this was how we dealt with it, and in hindsight, this is probably what I do now. And so being able to hear those sorts of things as well is I just think it's, you know, a great, it sounds like a really great, and you know, trying to find the words, it's so difficult sometimes, isn't it? Just trying to, just a great space to have those honest conversations and find that validation as well. It's it does sound very special, Jacqueline, honestly. I feel like I may be joining you in the spring. But as I've alluded to, we spoke before recording this, and you said that you know, hopefully you'll be really relaunching the course in the spring. So that sounds wonderful, and I definitely encourage my listeners to follow you, check out the show notes, and you'll find all of Jacqueline's information in there. I'll link to her Instagram website, and I'll track down all the wonderful people that she's mentioned. I'll also I'll definitely be posting that TED talk on my Instagram account as well for everyone. Do keep a track of Jacqueline. She's at Our Brave Hearts on Instagram, and look out for the course coming up again in the spring, because I just think it sounds so nourishing, and just like such a great space for people to, you know, find, explore, being a mum. Thank you so much for joining me today, Jacqueline. It's been amazing to speak to you. And I'll look forward to hopefully speaking to you again, because I feel like we've got so much more to discuss.
The iceberg.
Yes, definitely. Thanks again.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode of Mum's Work and Chaos, please make sure to subscribe on whatever podcasting channel you're listening on at the moment. Or if you'd like to get involved, feel free to email me at mumsworkandchaos@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at mumsworkandchaos. See you then.